Hey guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have a very special guest, but instead of telling you who she is, yes, it's a she, I'm gonna let you guys guess. So here we go. She was a quarter finalist in singles at both the 2017 Junior Wimbledon and the 2016 Junior US Open. She won the 2017 Australian Open and French Open Junior Doubles titles with Bianca Andreescu. She reached a career-high ITF Junior ranking of number 4 on July 17th, 2017, and now she is headed to the University of Virginia, the best place on earth. Any guesses? If you guessed Carson Brandstein, you are right. Carson, let's roll. Hey Carson, thank you for joining me on Jules on the Hustle today.
Thank you.
So would you say you're a hustler?
I think I would definitely, yes.
So I feel like, you know, tennis, it's an individual sport. It requires us to kind of fight for what we want and, you know, have to deal with a lot of catty girls day in and day out, go to crazy countries, just deal with a lot of adversity. Have you had to deal with like some like hate mail ever, or you know, some tough fans through your tennis career?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, even yesterday, I mean, I love desserts and donuts and stuff, and I posted a story yesterday. And every time I post a story like that, like, I always get, like, comments like, oh, you're gonna be fat, like, we're gonna gain weight, like, even things like that. I'm just like, really? Like, can I even, like, eat a donut and, like, think it's cool? I don't care, but, yeah, every single day, like, I get weird messages regardless if I'm playing or not, so.
I actually saw that on your Instagram, so that's honestly why I brought it up. I was hoping you would mention the donut thing. Those donuts looked really good. Was that a place in Charlottesville?
It was, yeah, right across the street from where I live. It's called Glaze Burger and Donut. All they serve is donuts, burgers, and fries. So it's like,
that's their menu.
So yeah, definitely a place I'll be going to a lot here. But yeah, for sure. I mean, just being like a female athlete and stuff, like those are the kind of things, like body image is definitely a big one. And just, like, comments like that is not going to help the problem, because I'm fine, but, I mean, to say that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so how would you say you're able to kind of deal with it, or what makes you kind of feel better?
Eating the donut.
That's a good way.
I mean, I got another one, too. Like, even after I posted those things, like, someone replied to me again, was like, yeah, you didn't eat that donut anyways. I'm like, okay, I actually ate all three every single bite. So, like, I wish I didn't eat all that, but I did. So, I'm not going to waste the $6 that I spent on donuts.
And they looked so good. When I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. When I was at UVA, I would go to a place called Duck Donuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a chain.
Oh, it is a chain. Oh, I didn't know that. But I just love how you can design your donut exactly the way you want it, with like whatever frosting, whatever topping, exactly. And it's like so hot.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
So you have a tight relationship with Bianca Andreescu. Did you meet her through Tennis Canada, or how did you guys meet?
We met a little bit before that. At US Open, like, forever ago, briefly. But then once, like, the talk started happening that I was going to possibly move to Montreal with Tennis Canada, we kind of started texting back and forth. So we started to build, like, a friendship from there, and we really kind of vibed with each other and just, like, we're like, oh, like, you're cool. Like, even regardless of me moving to Canada, I think we still would have ended up friends. But, yeah, totally. Like, Tennis Canada definitely brought us really, really close, because one of my first trips with TC was the Australian Open, and we were stuck with each other for 16 hours straight, so we really bonded that first trip, and then we roomed together and everything, and it was just like, it was one of those times where it's just like you meet someone, you feel like you've known them your whole life, and I mean, yeah, we've had the best times together.
Yeah, so, like, not only are you guys friends off the court, but obviously in 2017, you guys won the Australian Open and French Open Junior doubles titles together. let's say, like, from a tennis side of it, what is it about your games that really complement one another?
I mean, I think we both have a very similar mindset when it comes to tennis, although we don't play exactly the same. Bianca is probably, like, I think, like, the smartest, craftiest player out there right now. Like, I always call her a wizard. I'm like, you're a wizard when you play tennis because you just know what shot to hit every time. But for me, I'm loving my serve and loving the net too, and her, like, with her angles and slices and stuff. It's just, like, girls never really got a rhythm when they were playing us because we're just changing the pace constantly. And yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of, long story short, how it went for us. We kind of kept it simple and stuck to what we like to do, and it worked out really, really well.
Do you feel like because your personalities are similar and you guys get along really well off court, do you feel like that success translates onto the court?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially, like, on the days that we're not feeling good that we've played. Like, there have been some times where, like, one of us is really hurting or, like, we're just tired. And just having that personal relationship off the court helps us in, like, those moments, I think. And even if it's, like, frustration, like, there have been days where, like, I was getting mad or she was getting frustrated and we're, like, almost mad at each other in a way, but we have no filter, so it's like, it doesn't matter what we say, it's like only good intentions, but like you want to hear it necessarily recorded sometimes because yeah. We're like almost like sisters in a way with that, but yeah, totally, that personal relationship has helped us tremendously.
I think doubles teams that could be so candid and honest about their emotions and feelings, you see them succeed. Teams that have played together for a lot of tournaments, and obviously, like, your relationship with Bianca probably helps you guys, like, be better than so many other teams or players.
Right.
I saw through quarantine you guys did a live movie watch.
Oh, we did.
The Blind Side, right?
Yes, we watched The Blind Side together. She was in Toronto, I was in Orange County. And yeah, we're just like, let's do something interesting. Like, she's like, oh, I need to post something. I'm like, all right, well, let's see some ideas. And we kind of came up with, like, the movie thing. And that was fun. It was cute to see, like, people's reactions on Twitter and stuff.
Why The Blind Side? So, I mean, it's a great movie, but I don't know. I felt like through quarantine, you know, everyone's sad and, like, stressed. And then that movie is so sad to me.
I know. It's just, like, another... When we did a poll, it was between The Blind Side and, gosh, I can't even remember the other movie that we were going to watch. But because The Blind Side won by a landslide in this poll that we did. But we just thought, like, it's a movie. It's kind of, like, inspiring a little bit. It's about, of course, a pro athlete. So we wanted it to be something that was, like, someone overcoming something and, like, a big, like, and also a true story. We wanted a true story thing, too, which was nice. So, I don't know. This kind of came about. We both had seen it before as well, and we loved it, so.
So, did you, I know you were doing some live tweeting throughout the movie, and then after the movie, you went Instagram Live to discuss and maybe answer some questions from the fans. Is that how it worked?
Exactly.
How does it feel to see Bianca doing so well? Last year, she obviously won the U.S. Open, and I know she values you so much as a friend. How does it make you feel?
I mean, just knowing the kind of worker she is off the court, and we had preseason together kind of like in 2018, like before everything had happened, and I just saw the way that she was playing, and I mean, of course, you can't predict winning the U.S. Open and Indian Wells and all these tournaments, but, like, in a way, I didn't expect anything less from her because the way that she was playing, I was just like, wow, this girl is unstoppable right now. I don't know who's going to beat her, but whoever does, respect, because, like, I always believed in B, like, from the moment I met her, I just knew she was going to do big things. So now that these dreams are coming true for her, I'm just really happy and happy to be a part of it.
I actually had her on my podcast before the U.S. Open last year, and she was saying,
oh, really?
She was like, I've never been on Arthur Ashe Stadium. It would be a dream to just play on it. And I mean, look how she did. It was pretty crazy. Does her success make you feel like you're not far from it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, even not even just Bianca, but seeing a lot of young players do well right now, and just knowing that I've competed with them my entire life, it doesn't like put me down at all. It gives me a ton of confidence, because like the thing that I think held me back from accomplishing more of my goals before I was in school was injuries. It was always injuries with me.
Join the club.
And now that I don't have those, now that I don't have those injuries, I feel like I'm ready to put in the training that I need to really get to that level. So it's exciting.
So I wanted to talk about now you going to UVA. That is extremely exciting, and I know Sarah and Gina are so excited to have you on the team. When I was at UVA, those weren't my coaches. Times have changed, coaching staff, roster has changed. What was it about UVA that drew you to it?
Totally. I mean, going back to kind of like the pro and college transition thing, because I was at USC my first year of school, and I wasn't really in the mindset of college that much before, of course, cause just because I had seen so much in my career, and I was just like, I've been to all the Grand Slams and playing Rogers Cup. I'm just like, oh man, like I didn't really take the recruiting process as seriously as I should have. And USC, like my sisters were there, and or my one's older sister was there, and I always just kind of knew the school because it was close to home, and I didn't really like look into the values of what it really meant to be not just a college tennis player, but like a college athlete in general. So after having my experience at SC and not wanting to stay there, I just thought to myself, like, what's the only school that I actually thought was, like the only school I had ever thought about before SC was UVA. And I never got a chance to visit here either because I was just so busy with other tournaments. And just talking to Sarah and Peachy and just knowing a couple of the girls and even a couple of the guys on the men's team, I was just like, wow, the team culture there is like amazing. Like that's something I want to be a part of. And it just, it felt so easy to just want to commit here and come here. And then now that I'm in Charlottesville, like I feel like a little kid in Disneyland every time I walk around because like I love everything about UVA. Like I'm a UVA nerd and I've been here for a week. You know, it's like I love my building, I love the campus, the courts, the people, the team, the coaches. Everyone here is just like, it's the biggest breath of fresh air you could ever take.
Wow, I could not agree more. Your love for Charlottesville and UVA is just going to keep growing. I had a hard time actually going from junior tennis to college. I was, you know, I wasn't sure if that's what I wanted to do. Not because I didn't believe in college or college tennis. It was just like I hadn't been away from home for like a long stretch of time. And I was nervous about it. But no, UVA will be the fastest, well, for you, fastest 3 years, and unfortunately, so enjoy each moment and cherish it because it will go so fast. Honestly, the people in Charlottesville are some of the nicest, and I so hope you get to experience like college, football days, because those Saturdays or whatever days they're on, like those games are so fun. And they say girls in pearls, guys in ties at UVA football games. So you're not really going to be rocking like some gear. Sometimes you will, but typically you'll see girls like on the lawn, just wearing, pearl necklaces and dresses, and guys in like preppy ties. So I want you to be prepared for that. No, but it's great. So do you feel like maybe you underestimated the college tennis process before you went to USC, which is why you didn't maybe take a lot of time through the recruitment process and stuff like that?
I don't know if it was about underestimating it. I think it was just kind of not thinking about it enough. I knew there was, like, obviously, I knew schools like UVA and, like, a couple of the other ACC schools and stuff were, like, really good programs and stuff, but I was just like, whatever, like, I'm just gonna go where I feel comfortable. Like, I've been gone for so long living in Montreal, like, I'll just take the easy route and go to SC because, like, my family is kind of there and it's just, like, it's just easy. And then that was it for me. Like, I didn't have a recruiting process or anything. I just, like, committed and that was kind of it.
So what was it about USC that just didn't let you gel?
I think that there is probably a long list of things that didn't really gel with me. I don't think I'm the only person that would say this, but when it comes to wanting to be on a team, I think that it starts with the people who are in charge a lot of the times. And if it's not
100%, by the way, 100%.
The atmosphere wasn't necessarily made positive around our team a lot. So I was just, you know, constantly feeling like I was walking on eggshells at times. And it just didn't feel, I mean, at least this was my perspective. It didn't feel like a winning environment for me, not only for my college tennis goals, but for my wanting to be pro goals. And like, even for my own well-being, it just got to a point where like, I wasn't very happy in tennis, and I just wasn't even happy like with school or anything because of how much it affected me. So I was just like, this is like, I know I have a good soul, like I always have good intentions with people, like something's not right here. So that's when I really took matters into my own hands and was like, okay, what are my goals? Like, I want to be a better tennis player, a better athlete, a better person, and a better student. And if that's not going to work for me here, then I'm going to have to go somewhere where that is going to happen. And it happened really fast that I went to the portal and like kind of figured out a way to get here to Charlottesville and take a little visit and stuff. But I swear, like, even seeing UVA from the plane, like, I think I knew like, right from there. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I love this place. Like, such a culture shock from living in LA and stuff. But, yeah, I think it was just more of having a really positive atmosphere constantly is important for me. I'm very hard on myself naturally, so just having really good people around me constantly is really helpful. So that's what I wanted.
For me, I feel like you said, having the team around you and coaches that, you know, have the same winning mentality, have the right morals, and, you know, having just what you want set is so important. For me, I feel like I would rather have weaker players on my team than have players that are just scatterbrained, don't care as much, and stuff like that. It's so important to just have a team that's like with you and people you can trust and rely on, because you're with these girls basically 24/7. You're on the road in hotel rooms, in vans, and you want to feel like a connection to the team. Do you like the girls at UVA in the team so far?
Oh, I love everyone. Well, I knew pretty much everyone before coming here, so I didn't feel like uncomfortable or anything meeting them. So I knew everyone a little bit, and I like everyone has a great reputation, and even like, not that that matters anyways, but like, I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. And going back to the coaches, like Sarah and Peachy, like, I feel like they're not only recruiting good tennis players, but recruiting really nice, like a nice group of women, like all in one place, yeah. Which is not common because, like you said earlier, girls in tennis can get pretty catty sometimes, and there's a lot of backstabbing that can happen, especially in a team atmosphere coming from experience. And I feel like everyone just has like an equal trust and respect for each other. And I think that's so awesome because we already have enough stress with like wanting to work hard on our own, studying really hard, being tired, and then it's going to get cold soon. Like, that's not going to help anyone either. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're a Californian. Is that what they call you guys? Californians?
Yes.
you know what it's like to be warm. But, yeah, UVA does get pretty chilly. So, I hope you pack some warm clothes.
I have the Montreal experience, though.
So that's true. I know coming into the class with you, I know you're a year ahead, but is Emma Navarro and Kiba, how do you pronounce her last name?
Shike or Sheik? I don't know exactly. I'd have to ask her again.
I know Kiba. She's a very sweet girl. I don't know Emma, but obviously also a great player. Do you think you guys will do really well this year?
I don't want to sound cocky or too much, but I think we're going to be very, very, very good.
Very, very hard to beat.
Very hard team to beat.
Yes. Oh, I'd love to hear that. Obviously, we haven't, UVI Women's Tennis hasn't won a championship yet. The best we've done is the Elite Eight in 2016. So please, do what you got to do.
As long as everyone is healthy.
That's right.
I think the sky's the limit for our team.
Jules on the Hustle, Gamma on the Hustle, we needed a tennis equipment brand that was on our level. Behold, Gamma Sports. Gamma offers the best tennis strings and grips in the industry, along with a full line of training, court, and stringing equipment. Even 40 years later, there are patent processes, superior design, and string technology gives players a distinct edge over the competition. You know why? Because Gamma understands that athletes have a lifelong need to grow, perform, and strive for excellence. So guys, go to GammaSports.com and use my code JULES20, J-U-L-E-S 20, for 20% off your purchase. I've been using Gamma for 15 plus years and it has changed my game. Gamma will never stop innovating and improving their technology, and that will enhance your game. So what are you waiting for? What are some of the other difficult teams right now? I'd say UCLA.
I mean, the ACC in general is a crazy strong conference. Like, I swear, like, our conference is like the NCAA's in itself. Because we have UNC, Duke, Florida State. Is Miami with us too?
Yes,
it is. Georgia Tech. Even like Clemson and stuff, like the ones that are like lower in the conference, they're still good teams. Like, they can beat people on any given day. So
exactly. And that's good and bad, because during the season you're getting the highest level matches, but it also can like affect your record, you know, if you take some L's. But I feel like Pac-12 or, you know, other conferences are a lot weaker, that's for sure.
I mean, the ACC dominates college tennis right now, I think. Mm-hmm. The men's too.
Yeah.
I mean, really good. Wake Forest and all those schools are like really good.
You mentioned that you had some friends on the men's side.
Yes. This is gonna sound really funny, but we actually play Warzone with each other like every night.
Oh my gosh! Warzone.
I'm the biggest nerd, but yeah, we do it like all the time. Like, me and like four or five of the guys on the team. It's hilarious. But,
do they all live in like a house together and you like go over and play, or play?
I have my own setup in my room right now, which is
really no nice. Way you yeah, have it oh gosh
but yeah, they live like in a house and then like an apartment like a minute from me, but no one's allowed to hang out right now because we're on quarantine technically.
Oh, that's true. So would you say that maybe some of your friendships with the guys also helped you decide that UVA was the spot?
Oh, 1,000%. The person who actually helped me the most through the whole recruiting process is one of the guys in the men's team who's been, like, him and Bianca and, like, two other girls are, like, my best friends. So he actually helped me, like, pretty much through the whole thing, because he's already here, and he would tell me, I'd call him, like, complaining, and like, I don't know what to do, like, what am I doing? And he would always tell me about UVA. And just, like, the amazing program it is. And, like, I trust, like, his judgment on pretty much everything. So, if it weren't for one of the guys in the men's team, I don't know if I'd be at UVA today. He really helped with all that.
I'm so happy to hear that you and the men's team get along. And I heard, like, the girls in general get along with the guys' team. When I was at UVA, it just always felt like there was this huge division. And while it could have been, like, some differences between the coaches or some differences between the guys and the girls, a lot of it I felt like is some of the guys, their heads were a little big. They were, you know, a multinational championship team. They were unreal. Like, if they took a loss, like, that was, like, crazy. They hadn't, like, lost a home match in, like, 150, like, matches. Like, so
no way.
They had the biggest winning streak. They were the best sport at UVA, the men's tennis team. I think I'm so happy now that you know, the guys and the girls hang out. It's so important to the development of the tennis team.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, it's not even for me, at least based on what I know and, like, my relationships with everyone on the team, because I'd say, like, coming in here, like, I knew probably, like, a couple of the guys better than the girls as well. And, like, just seeing, like, how they all are together, it's not even the men's and women's team. It's just, like, the tennis team.
I love that.
Well, that's kind of how it feels right now. So it's pretty cool.
Hello, my hustlers. Boy, do I have some great news for you. So the other day I was practicing with this girl and her eyelash falls off mid-practice. That's right, her lash popped off. And I thought, Julia, what are you going to do? And that's when I turned to Play Your Court, because you get to play more tennis and improve your game while the tennis is brought to you. You get set up with practice partners nearby that are similar in level. So that's right, for all you lazy folks thinking, I don't want to drive far to practice. Well, no excuses. You get unlimited matches, no drama, and custom video coaching tailored to your needs. So let's say you're having a hard time with your forehand inside out, or your serve, Player Court has you set. And you actually end up saving more because you get insider pricing on balls, rackets, grips, shoes, string, bags, apparel, pro tickets, and more from the top tennis brands. All you have to do is go to playyourcourt.com and answer a few easy questions about what you are looking for. Use my code, you're welcome, capital Julia, J-U-L-I-A, all caps, and you get 50% off your yearly subscription of $49.99. And just monthly, you can get it for $5.99. Again, you're welcome. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Player Court and their YouTube page, Play Your Court. You are welcome. Ball out, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up with a little game here.
Okay.
I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind, if possible. Some of them are going to be a little bit more difficult. You might have to think about it for a sec, but I want to see some of your answers here.
All right, so, let's hear it.
Carson, what's your favorite city?
Favorite city? To live or just in general?
Just in general.
Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo. What's your favorite slam?
Australian Open.
Favorite activity to relax on the road?
If I bring my guitar, playing my guitar.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What got you into playing guitar?
I just thought when I was younger, I was like, that is the most beautiful instrument I've seen in my life. And my family's very musical. Everyone plays like an instrument or two. So that was the one I kind of gravitated towards. And I, yeah, picked it up.
Are you going to have time to play in Charlottesville? Did you bring your guitar with you?
I brought my acoustic with me. It's like sitting over there. So yeah, I'll definitely be playing.
Favorite pre-game meal or snack?
Starbucks breakfast sandwich.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wait, which one?
The reduced fat turkey bacon one.
I thought you were going to go like egg, cheddar, and sausage.
No, I love the turkey bacon one. You put sriracha sauce with it. It's like so good.
Have you tried the, what are those egg things?
The egg bites.
Egg bites.
Those are a great snack. I love that.
They're so good. They're like the ones with the bacon and like, oh, shoot, I'm blanking out, but it's really
bacon
good.
Bacon and cheddar.
There you go. That's it.
I know the menu like so well. I should basically be sponsored by Starbucks by now. It's okay.
Would you rather have an early match or a late match? So like, we can say, I guess, like, 9 a.m. or, like, 8 p.m.
Ooh. If I know I have good lighting, I kind of like night matches a little bit. But I'm actually okay with super early or kind of late. Just as long as my match is not at, like, 2 p.m., then I'm fine.
Yeah, 2 p.m. is
the
worst.
Midday, yeah. Like, that midday crash. I'm just like, this is the worst time to play tennis, like... yeah.
Oh my gosh, I hate when the match is like right smack in the middle of the day. You're like, do I have lunch? Do I have a bite of a turkey sandwich?
That's why I'm just like, oh no, I don't want to do this. But the night, like some of my best memories have come at night matches, so I think I like the night matches as long as the lighting is very good.
Would you rather have extra coffee or take a nap when you're really tired?
Extra coffee.
Yeah, you sound like a big coffee girl. Mm-hmm. Meditate or journal?
Journal.
What's something you can't live without?
Coffee.
Coffee. I could have guessed that one.
I'm so addicted to coffee. It's so bad.
What's Carson's coffee order?
Oh, mine's a little bit complicated lately, but I swear it's really good.
I want to know.
Anyone who listens to this needs to try it because it's a hack. So I get a venti cold brew from Starbucks, and then I put it with almond milk, normal thing, but then I put like 2 or 3 stevia packets in it and with cinnamon powder on top. So it's like a healthy iced chai, basically.
That's what it sounds like.
It kind of tastes like chai, but with none of the calories or any of the sugar in it. It's very good.
So do you get Starbucks every day?
Pretty much every day, It's like a very regular thing for me. It's like weird. Like if I don't go, I feel weird. I'm just like, even if I drink coffee, I don't know. It's like an addiction.
Fun fact, you can use plus dollars at UVA to go to the Starbucks in Now Hall. I don't know if you know where that is.
Oh, yes, I do.
But
One of my teammates, Rosie, has already told me about it because she knows I'm a very big Starbucks girl. So that is definitely going to be utilized by me.
So I guess we know where we could find you on the UVA grounds.
1,000%.
What's something that makes you really sad? I'm sorry, really mad. That's
really
what
mad.
Yes.
Oh, sad. Oh my god.
Mad. Like, no. Not sad. Mad. I want to see what.
Really mad. Oof.
Yeah. Extreme wrath.
Like a pet peeve almost, or just
anything. Like anything that just bothers you or frustrates you. Pet peeve. It could definitely be.
Okay. Here's one. If someone tries to, if someone touches my feet. Like I hate that so much. Like all my friends, like bug me and tease me with it all the time. That like triggers me automatically.
Touch your feet.
Like I'm like pretty OCD, so if like my fridge, for instance, like if I see like someone leaving stale food in the fridge or if it's not like perfectly lined up, I get so irritated at that. I'll automatically like organize it right away. Like in my fridge right now, like all my LaCroix and stuff are like perfect next to each other. So those are two things.
Are you like Nadal, where everything has to like be lined up perfectly, or else you have to like adjust it so everything just like, you know, on the tennis court?
I'm not like that crazy about like adjusting it because I don't know, like I don't have, I live in a studio, so I don't have people like coming to mess it up too often. Mm-hmm. But a little bit, yeah, I am a little OCD like that. Like if I am organizing and cleaning, like I'll like turn things until it's like the perfect angle.
Who's someone you want to be like?
Someone I want to be like.
It could be tennis, non-tennis, someone on Instagram, just anyone. Someone in your family.
Probably my grandma. She passed away earlier this year, and she was like the most like inspiring, like giving person I've ever met in my entire life. And like not having her around has been like probably like the hardest thing. Not only like in my life, but just like in my family in general, just because she helped, like she was a huge volunteer at like the Salvation Army and probably helped like thousands of people in her life. So if I could be even just a little bit like her, I think I'd get a long way in life.
Wow, that's beautiful. I'm so sorry to hear about your loss, but it sounds like her, you know, her presence will always be in your spirit and your heart. That's wonderful.
Definitely.
And last question, if you weren't playing tennis, what would you be doing? I know you might want to one day be a lawyer and get into entertainment law.
Yeah, definitely. I am already doing like a lot of stuff like in my life, like outside of tennis. I try to like really fill my schedule and I want to be an all-around person. But if I was doing like another sport, like instead of tennis, I think I'd be running track. For sure. I used to run like 400s and stuff for like fitness. And I used to run them like pretty fast. And I remember having like a fitness coach once saying like, wait, you could have run track if you wanted to. And I was like, well, I don't want to just run in circles for my whole life. So I'm not going to do that. But yeah, running track probably would have been like my next sport. But I don't think I would have had a career or study change because I really like what I'm studying. So
I feel like the best tennis players play different sports, whether they're running, playing basketball. Are you more of like into the long distance or the short distance sprints?
I would have run 400s and 800s, so like middle.
Middle run. Distance. Very cool. Well, I'm glad I was able to learn a little bit more about you through this little game. Before we let you go, I just want to ask you what you think about the Cincinnati Open, or not the Cincinnati Open, about Western Southern Open, which is also Cincy, but it's going to be in New York. And then, of course, the U.S. Open. Do you feel like proper safety protocols are in place right now? And what do you think about the tennis we're about to see?
I think when it comes to the safety thing, I think you're doing an amazing job. I'm not concerned about any of that for the players. And even if a player were to get it, like people our age are, it's such a small percentage that they're going to get really sick. Anyways, it's not something that worries me a lot, but the only thing I do worry about is the tennis part, in the sense of that I feel that they're just trying to pump out tournaments and it kind of takes away how special they are to a lot of players. So whoever ends up winning these tournaments and the US Open and everything, it's like, I just hope for the player's sake, and like, I'm going to be guilty of this too, because it will cross my mind. It's just like, oh, you won the US Open, but you won it in 2020 when it was like coronavirus. So you didn't really win the US Open because no one played. Like, that's kind of like how I feel about it a little bit. So in a way, I'm just like, dang, for that reason, I wish that they might would have just maybe canceled the year.
Just canceled 2020
yeah, in general. Yeah, a little bit, because, like, tennis is, like, such a legacy and, like, historical sport. And I mean, this is history. We're living, obviously, like, a huge part of history right now. I'm just not sure if it's worth taking this prestige away of the tournaments just to make some money. Like, that's kind of how I'm just like, I don't know. But I understand both sides.
But I've been hearing a lot of what you said around a lot. And while, yes, a lot of players aren't going, the two that everyone talks about, obviously, are Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. But then people forget we've had Grand Slams without those two. And while, yes, there are other players that aren't going, it just feels like everyone just keeps saying, oh, Nadal and Federer aren't there. Do you think a lot of it just has to do with Nadal and Federer?
I mean, I'm definitely a part of it, probably does. And Djokovic is playing US Open, right?
He is, yes.
Yeah, they probably paid Djokovic so much extra money to play, because if there wasn't a Djokovic either, then they're, like,
yeah,
wide to play at that point, because they're the guys, like, I mean, they're all getting somewhat, like, kind of towards the end of their career, so every tournament that they play is, like, very important now. But I think that is a part of it. And I mean, on the women's side, Bianca's not playing. She pulled out.
But hers was to injury, right? It wasn't because of COVID?
Yeah, like a little bit. I mean, I think if everything was normal, she could have maybe gone out there. And like, but she wants to focus on like making sure her body's perfect,
yeah,
which is a super smart thing. But I don't know. Without having Federer and Nadal on top of everything that's going on, it just feels even more weird than it would be if it's just, like, a normal slam without them. Because it's not like it's an injury that's holding them back. It's, like, a pandemic. So it's, like, oh. Like, if they're stopping, the whole world kind of has to stop.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it definitely, it has a part, I think, for sure.
It'll be interesting to see. Now, do you plan on graduating and then going pro, or I know originally you were thinking maybe 1 to 2 years at the college level and then going pro, or have you decided what you want to do?
I'm kind of just taking things like seriously, like not even day by day, but like minute by minute right now is kind of like how I've changed my perspective of life. But
I feel like college does that to athletes. Originally, yeah, they're like, I'm going to go for 1 year. And then they're like, you know what? You know, minute by minute.
Yeah, and not only that, like, I think just, like, after the experiences I had last year and, like, not really being, like, in my best headspace in a lot of ways, I think, and, like, also being very injured was, like, another thing. So I kind of just want to, like, make sure that if I am going to take that step, that like I have everything set up and everything is made to be successful, whether that, or I don't want to be like that player that's like, oh, like they could stay in college, but like they're good enough to go pro. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want it to be like obvious,
clear cut.
Tour. So that's why like here, like with the program that we have here is so incredible. I like love it so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I want to get really good, but I hope I don't get too good, because like I want to stay here too, you know what I mean? But I'll see. I feel like I deep down I really want to graduate, because on top of like the tennis and everything, education is so important for me. I actually really enjoy studying, so I think I might take summer classes or something and try to graduate early. That would be the most ideal situation. We'll see.
And what's great is that you can play pro, well, I don't know about this year, but typically you can play pro tournaments in the fall and keep that pro momentum going. Right. And then right, I feel like, yeah. What were you saying? Sorry.
Oh, it was just, yeah, sorry. Okay.
I feel like college tennis is a great, developmental thing for a tennis player's game. It's also, for me, the hardest thing was the transition from college tennis back to pro when I was done playing. Because when you play during the school year pro tournaments, you can sometimes go with your college coach and you still feel that collegey feeling in your body. But I don't know, that transition after is, it takes some adjustment, but I have no doubt, because you know, you as a junior, you were so incredible, and now in college tennis, you're gonna tear it up. So I have no doubts about you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, Carson, I will let you get back to beautiful Charlottesville. Thank you so much for joining me, and I can't wait to follow.
Awesome. Go Hoos.
Go Hoos, on that note.
All right.
So, I can't tell if she's excited to go to UVA or to be in Charlottesville right now. What do you guys think? JK, clearly so hyped and so pumped to dominate the ACC and NCAA with her team, her squad, and seriously the best place on earth. You know, I wasn't even that excited heading into UVA. Like, I was pumped to play college tennis. I thought Charlottesville was wonderful, but I can't say I was on the same level as Carson. Obviously now, after 4 years, I'm like, take me back. But no, she is going to, you know, it's going to live up to the hype for her, for sure. I loved her take also just now on what the US Open is going to be like, you know, if someone wins. If they're going to be like, oh, but it's not as great because it was coronavirus US Open. And while I understand her point, and some people have been saying that, you know, when you look back in 10 years, you look back in 5 years, yes, you know, coronavirus was 2020, but not actually. Like, we are living history right now, the time of coronavirus. But once years pass, I just don't see people being like, oh, he won it that year. It's not that great. Oh, you won the US Open, but it was coronavirus. Like, if you win the US Open, that is freaking special. Like, it doesn't matter. If you win the US Open, you win the US Open. I do see her point, though. But I'd love to hear your take on what you guys think. Also, seriously craving donuts right now. Hearing her talk about donuts, I just, my sugar craving is very high. But as always, thanks for tuning in, guys. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules L Baba, at JulesElBaba. If you like this podcast, please leave a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. And with that being said, see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.